Thank you so much for listening to the Union of Time Thieves. My name is Becky, and I want to thank a bunch of great people who made this episode possible. Aspen and Shampton were our musical folks. Ha ha ha. That's funny. But, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. And Sarah from KDRT, thank you for coming up and helping out with stuff. And this is Becky signing off. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Suddenly, it's Sudden Theater.
Thank you to Aspen
and Radio. Oh my God. I don't know. Interludes and for your practical demonstration.
No, no, no. Piano on the one, please. Stop, stop, everyone. Would you tune your cello, please? Let's try this again. No, violin, are you with me? Wake up. All right, again. Two, three, four. Hello? People, can we get it together?
From the studios of KBOO and beautiful...
John, we've been doing this for a year. You're early. Just follow the script. All right, can we try to do this right just once? The show's only an hour.
Hello. Welcome to the Sudden Radio Project. Tonight, the best of 2003, our second annual anthology, where we revisit the best works chosen by an enormous staff of qualified experts. Without further ado, we present the Sudden Radio Project's best of 2003.
Is there anything I can order for you?
Oh, no. Thank you.
Just the Merlot, then, and liver pate. I see you a lot at night, looking out at the city from your balcony. I don't actually watch you, you know, but I've noticed. You're always dressed so well, elegantly. And I guess, you know, not many people use a cigarette holder these days. If you don't mind me saying so, I couldn't help noticing your striking profile against the moon. When was it? Last Thursday.
There's a certain restlessness about you. Is there a demon that has to be exorcised? Or an angel that has to get out? I should be able to read you well.
Is it your wife who works in the garden late at night?
Girlfriend. Thank you. She's my girlfriend, Augustina. She has an odd schedule. We both do. It's the only time she can... Does she disturb you?
Oh, no, she has such regal, aquiline features. They're dominant in the moonlight.
Or the streetlight, you mean. Do you, like, watch her working in the garden at night?
I noticed her from my balcony. The odd ashen light from that... What is that she uses?
I'm a little ill at ease with her. Yes.
Do you watch
me
looking?
I don't really know what she...
Interest you?
Why did she suggest we come to this place?
I've seen you at your balcony.
It's just pheromones or something.
And once while riding
I feel she's got some kind of pull or something.
I was coming home from work near dawn. There was just a little pink light in the sky. You were moving across the grass so gracefully. It was, you know, like you were gliding, not walking. You were dressed in a flawlessly beautiful violet gown. A delicate jeweled necklace glinted in the park lights, and a small flowing scarf quivered in the breeze behind you.
As a noble creature like Augustina, a powerful and unique descendant of a cultured race, what does she see in you, Quentin? Don't you want to make yourself more appealing to her? Don't you want to become a greater creature than your potential? Don't you want to rise yourself above yourself? It's a vernacular you can understand, dear sweet hormonal doe-eyed boy. You should want to serve such a noble creature. She has the blood of kings in her veins. I can sense it. I can hear it. I can hear its lonely tune. Quentin.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I'll bet she's great. And of course I think no one would ever find out. Tina has a sixth sense about that kind of shit. I don't know. But...
I've lost the thrill of sport. The victory has no taste anymore. How tiring to find I'm a slave to my own...
Do you remember wearing...
Are you a romantic, Mr...
Quentin. Quentin Morgan.
A worker name? A farmhand? A factory man or an innkeeper or a day laborer? You want me, don't you, boy?
Allow me, Lena von Rauschenberger.
Von Rausch? That sounds, I don't know, old world or something, doesn't it?
There's royal blood running through my veins. My family is a very old one. Proud, determined. In our day, we shaped the course of the known world. We had power, political control.
You want to find your hands all over me?
We reigned with dignity, grace, without sentimental pity. And now...
You want my cold breath to pour like the mist of dry ice across your skin and ease through the crevices as if I'm enveloping you in my essence.
Now?
Now I exchange paltry goods from this kind of place like a common American capitalist. But what of you,
I'll take
Quentin?
You across onyx seas, transport you through the history of Blood Boy, through the history of royal lines and ancient palaces, through the marbled walled rooms of physical pleasure, through the touch and moans of time, through the songs of ancient demons and the garbled warblings that pour from pleasured ethereal nymphs. There are realms of feeling that can barely be contained in this world, boy. And the vibrations of their spiritual commingling will tear a seam in the illusion of this world that will never heal.
It seems you two don't keep the same hours.
We might be together, Elena, but we're still individuals.
People, the folds of a dark sheet are being pulled away, boy.
What I think is that each person must live their own life, don't you?
Don't you believe in destiny, Quentin? Don't you think that for scientific reasons rather than religious ones, there are destinies ordained by molecular and temporal constraints and mathematics that are far more defined than chance? Do you think there's a choice for humans? Do you think standing here with me on this night, there's a choice? Even now?
Destiny.
We can always choose.
Mine was set thousands of years ago, Quentin.
Can we have two more?
Yours was decided then too, long before you were ever born. You want me, Quentin.
We can talk about fate and irony all night.
I can touch you with my presence from here.
But we still make decisions. It's like we help fate.
Can you feel the tingling of your senses coming alive? Can you feel my elegant, lethal touch? You never dreamed large, boy. You never will, but for just a fragment in your life, you will touch the end and the beginning of time.
Don't you feel the motions passing through time's metered sieve in the slow, agonizing rhythm?
I'm already coursing through you, Quentin. Do you want to know? I want to take you.
Don't you think there should
be something more? Do you want me, Quentin? Do you want me?
Look, Miss von Rauschenberger, you are very attractive. I'm entranced, really. I've never seen you around the apartments when I haven't been, well, you know, just kind of struck by you. Honestly, I could barely take my eyes off you. But if by something more you mean what I think you mean...
My shadow is already slipping through space, entwining itself around your soul, boy, and finding its way into your heart.
When shall I meet her?
She will know of my power when she sees you.
I know. We'll have a midnight banquet. Allow me. Kindly inform Augustina that I will cater a midnight dinner in her garden. All essentials supplied. We'll say next Thursday night.
She will sense me, as she has already.
Banquet table. Fine china settings arranged on my family linen. Silver candelabra from the Borgias and a 7-course meal. All in my care. We'll set a midnight table in the garden among Augustina's roses and vegetables.
Gods,
at the end of their time, now the approaching
Quentin. Let me show you.
An homage to Cellini.
Come to me, Quentin. La
dolce vita. I know.
And let me show you more than sensual.
Your job is to simply arrive. You and Augustina. I will arrange the rest. Midnight it is. Quentin. Thursday. It's decided. Ciao.
Whoa. And with that, she vanished.
Excuse me, miss. Can I have the check, please?
Morbid sensual dreams.
Mad. Passionate. Love. Mad. Passionate. Love. Mad. Passionate. Love. Mad. Passionate. Mad. Adjective. One. Insane. Demented. Deranged. Psychotic. See insane. Two. Angry. Provoked. Enraged. Exasperated. See angry. Three. Afflicted with rabies. Frenzied. Raging. Foaming at the mouth. See sick. Mad.
Passionate.
Adjective.
Adjective.
One.
One.
Insane.
Excitable.
Demented. Deranged.
Vehement.
Psychotic.
Hot-headed.
See insane.
Tempestuous.
Two.
See
angry.
Sense.
Provoked.
Two.
Enraged.
Ardent.
Exasperated.
Intense. Impassioned.
Angry.
Loving.
Three.
Fervent.
Afflicted with rabies.
Moving.
Frenzied.
Inspiring.
Raging. Foaming
dramatic.
At the mouth. See
melodramatic.
Sick. Mad.
Romantic.
Adjective.
Poignant.
One.
Swelling.
Insane. Demented.
Enthusiastic.
Deranged.
Tragic.
Psychotic.
Stimulating.
Insane.
Wistful.
Two. Angry.
Stirring.
Provoked.
Thrilling.
Enraged.
Warm.
Exasperated.
Burning.
See.
Glowing.
Angry.
Vehement.
Three. Afflicted
deep.
With rabies.
Affecting.
Frenzied. Raging.
Eloquent.
Foaming at the mouth.
Spirited.
See sick.
Fiery.
Mad.
Expressive.
Adjective.
Forceful.
One. Insane.
Heated.
Demented.
Hot.
Deranged.
Three.
Psychotic.
Intense.
See insane.
Strong.
Two.
Vehement.
Angry. Provoked.
Violent.
Enraged.
See.
Exasperated.
Intense.
See,
love,
angry,
passionate,
noun,
three,
adjective, one,
afflicted with rabies,
one, passionate and tender devotion,
raging,
vehement,
foaming at the mouth,
attachment,
hot-headed,
devotedness,
sick,
passion,
mad,
yearning,
sense,
one,
flame,
insane,
rapture, enchantment,
ardent,
ardor,
psychotic,
emotion,
see insane,
sentiment,
loving,
fondness,
fervent, angry,
moving,
tenderness,
provoked,
adoration,
raged, dramatic,
crush, see also,
melodramatic,
see, affection,
angry, romantic,
antithesis,
three,
poignant,
afflicted with
hate,
rabies,
swelling, aversion,
frenzy,
antipathy.
Enthusiastic, foaming,
two,
tragic,
affection based on
sick,
esteem, respect,
mad,
regard,
adjective,
appreciation. See admiration.
Demented,
three,
deranged,
a lively
burning,
and enduring
chaotic,
interest,
insane,
involvement,
two,
concern, enjoyment.
Angry,
see devotion. Four,
enraged,
a beloved, dear one, loved one,
fiery,
cherished
angry,
one.
Expressive,
see lover.
Three, forceful.
One,
rabies,
heated,
fall
frenzied,
in love
raging,
with, begin to feel three, love for,
intense,
adore, be infatuated,
adjective,
see fall
one,
in love,
violent,
for the love of,
intense,
for the sake of,
psychotic,
with fond concern
insane,
for, because
two,
of,
one,
angry,
see
excitable,
four,
provoked,
in love, enamored,
raged,
infatuated, charmed,
tempestuous,
see
angry,
loving,
three,
make love,
two,
fondle,
rabies,
embrace,
ardent,
sleep
frenzied,
with,
raging,
see,
mouth,
copulate, love.
See,
loving,
two,
mad,
not for love or money,
moving,
under no
one,
conditions,
inspiring,
by no means,
dramatic,
no,
deranged,
see, never,
psychotic,
love,
romantic,
verb,
insane,
one, to be passionately,
poignant,
devoted,
swelling,
adore, to be in love with, care for,
tragic,
hold dear,
stimulating,
choose,
see,
fancy,
angry,
be enchanted
stirring,
by, be passionately attached
thrilling,
to,
rabies,
have affection
frenzied,
for,
raging,
dote
raging,
on,
burning,
glorify,
mouth, glowing,
idolize,
sick,
vehement,
prize,
mad,
be fascinated
one,
by, hold
insane,
hell, think the world of, treasure,
deranged,
prefer,
deranged,
yearn for,
express,
be
insane,
fond of,
forceful,
admire, long
hated,
for, flip
provoked,
over, fall for, be
enraged,
nuts about, go for, have it bad,
strong,
angry,
antithesis,
vehement,
hate,
three,
detest,
violent,
loathe,
see,
two,
frenzied,
to express
rages,
love by caresses, cherish,
adjective,
fondle,
mad,
kiss,
one,
make love to,
excitable,
embrace,
one,
vehement, cling
insane,
to, clasp, hug,
deranged,
take into one's
see,
arms,
see,
hold,
insane,
pet, stroke,
two,
draw
ardent,
close,
provoked,
bring
tense,
to one side,
passion,
make a play for,
loving,
make it, see
fervent,
also kiss,
angry, moving,
antithesis,
three,
afflicted
exclude,
with rage,
dramatic,
spurn,
frenzied,
melodramatic,
refuse,
foaming at the mouth,
romantic,
three,
cease,
to possess a deep and abiding
mass,
interest,
swelling,
enjoy, delight in,
relish,
insane,
tragic,
see, admire,
stimulate,
like,
psychotic,
wistful,
see,
stirring,
insane,
thrilling,
two,
angry,
warm,
provoked,
burning,
enraged,
glowing,
exasperated,
vehement,
C,
deep,
angry,
affecting,
three, afflicted
eloquent,
with rabies,
spirited,
frenzied, raging,
fiery,
foaming at the mouth,
expressive,
C, sick,
forceful,
mad,
heated,
adjective,
hot,
one, insane,
three,
demented,
intense,
deranged,
strong,
psychotic,
vehement,
C, insane,
violent,
two, angry,
C,
provoked,
intense,
enraged, exasperated, C, angry, three, afflicted with rabies, frenzied, raging, foaming at the mouth, C, sick,
mad,
passionate,
love,
passionate.
There's a time and a place for everything.
Well, this isn't the time and it isn't the place.
Well, when are we gonna talk about it? It's gonna be too late by then.
Not at the beach, not in front of all these people.
I don't care about these people. What do they have to do with me?
We are in public. Act accordingly.
I will not act any way for anybody, anyhow, if you ever again try to say anything bad about my truck. My truck will run over any of these goddamn sissies. I got 63-inch tires. I can run over a goddamn Chevy with my eyes closed. My truck. I can haul 16 bales of hay with the truck in neutral. My truck. They'll see me coming from down the block. I don't even have to use my headlights at night. My truck.
Jasmine, incense, and garlic from the front seat told me the hack didn't grow up in the stained, bloodthirsty, mean streets of Hedonville like me. But there was an apathetic patina of knowledgeable world weariness clinging to him. Greenish smoke rose from his thin clove cigarette and wrapped itself around the rearview mirror so that I couldn't see his eyes. I knew the city better, I figured, so when he turned down Chestnut, I said, "Take the park." He just nodded. I covered my chapped lips with a coat of waxy crap that probably had more chemicals in it than the West River. But there was something sensual about it, like having my own private oral massage. I dropped the tin back in my bag. It clinked on the butt of my loaded gun. He looked over, briefly, and I caught the sight of his two lifeless Onyx marbles that must have been his eyes. "Turn here," I said. The house loomed in the night sky like a Lovecraftian gateway to another nightmarish netherworld. We climbed the long serpentine driveway weakly, the transmission groaning in second gear, reluctantly like French aristocracy heading toward the guillotine. Conniving amber light crept out across the black lawn with a false penetrating warmth. The mansion itself was one of those old familiar pseudo-Tudor castles, an elephantine fabrication of a faux past, probably older than 200 years, in and of itself a kind of historical document we never had back in L.A. But the blue blood mustiness felt like rotting carrion to me as a fossilized butler took my coat in the dank, dark hallway. An acerbic north wind threw itself against the ancient lead-lined stained-glass windows. I chuckled. "No," I scolded. "There is no way that the real world can intrude on this fantasy." I was ushered into a massive, cavernous library with the curt respect of a soup kitchen server calling the next bum. My hard-heeled pumps clacked on the oak floor in a rhythm similar to a cobbler tapping her work. Every inch of the place was lacquered in money, glistening with the smooth, cracked glow of old money. Pendlestone sat on a golden nest his grandmother, Mrs. Lukens, had made for him by becoming the first woman to build and run a steel mill in Jacketsville. This house didn't have the low-wage smell of the furnace, though. It stunk from something else. Presently, the fossil returned, as if to try catching me spitting in the first editions, and I followed him to the old man himself, sitting in a velvet wheelchair next to the window, looking out into the darkness. He was, finally, turned to face me, including the oxygen apparatus that spiraled up into his nose so that he could pretend to be alive. His crumpled face was the color of white that Artemisia used to paint plastered walls, and his green eyes were so removed from the thing that I expected it to pop off like a Mardi Gras mask. His brow narrowed, and those two green slugs looked up at me, the head remaining frozen in its hangdog position. The fossil checked his tubes, tucked in the plaid blanket that kept Pendlestone from slipping out of the chair, and brought the light around to one side, casting Pendlestone in shadow. Then he turned to me.
Shall I fetch you something to drink, ma'am?
Scotch, no ice, thank you. Silently, the butler withdrew. This room was less oppressive than the library. The walls were covered in a dark green shroud of abstract shapes patterned after plant life. There were dark mahogany tables and desks arranged less from aesthetic goals than for ease of the wheelchair. A copy of Billionaire Quarterly sat on the coffee table. There was a general feeling of the place, I don't know, having been searched. It smelled like medicine and hospitals and asparagus pea. After a moment, I became aware that there was some movement from the silhouette of the wheelchair, and it seemed that the old man was trying to raise a shriveled appendage to shake my hand.
Good evening, Mrs. Chevelle. At my age, Miss Chevelle, you don't linger on pleasantries. I'll get right to the point.
At which point he began to cough in a dry, wheezy, pumping rhythm that seemed like someone in the next county was trying to stoke the fire with an antique bellows. I could have read all of Jane Austen for the duration of his coughing. The butler entered, placing my drink ceremoniously on a coaster, ornamented with the old man's initials, P.P. Fussed over the wheelchair, negotiated world peace, mowed the front lawn, and retired to his quarters before the chair-ridden curator of Fort Knox halted his hacking aria. I sipped his 17-and-a-half-year-old scotch with all the excitement and optimism of a pre-70s kid of six looking into her easy-bake oven for the first time. I wondered how I could snag the bottle on my way out. Settling myself with blue-collar defiance into a cushioned, blood-colored leather chair, I rolled my eyes over to the old man as if he was my drawing room. What is it?
Something of mine has turned up missing, Miss Chevelle. A letter of supreme importance, of value only to me, you see, but a letter I must retrieve. It is long.
Apparently it was a long-standing lung condition, for he began to cough once more. I knew I had 10 minutes to kill, so I swallowed, walked behind him, searched his desk, put a box of filterless Turkish specials into my pocket, read an article about Jacqueline Dupre, and floated into a different chair.
Miss Chevelle? There you are. As I was saying, the letter is a business-sized envelope sealed with a particular crest stamped into golden wax on the back. It is addressed to me and bears one other mark, a peculiar shape of an abstract crown intertwined with a smiling asp.
Asp?
Asp, smiling. The paper is handmade, unblemished, the color, as I remember, of tusks.
What's in it?
I'd prefer not to say.
Look here, Mac, I said. All my best Radcliffe goes out the window when I'm working. I stood up and took a step closer so that he had to lean back in the chair to see me. And with the authority of a Girl Scout who'd just gotten a new badge, I tossed my hair back so that my barrette came out and flew across the room. You want me to find this so-called valuable dingus of yours? Well, okay. Except that for $2,000 a day plus expenses, I don't grope around in the dark. Tell you the truth, I'd grope around in the dark for a nickel with the right person. My normal fee is $50 a day, plus expenses, but I figured he wouldn't know the difference. Hell, he probably tips the cabana boy more than that at Ramadan. Mr. Pendlestone, there are a lot of nefarious creatures out there on those mean streets. Wet mean streets. Dark, wet, mean streets, I mean. The kind of 10-cent hoodlum you can't get for 10 cents anymore. The kind of 2-bit gangster who'd just as soon pluck my eyebrows out with toaster tongs as look at me. Or a chick like me had better know what she's getting into before she sticks her neck out. She'd better know the room before she plays the house, and she'd better quickly get smart before any of those dime-a-dozen rod-packing mamas wises her up butt-fast. I don't play the sap, Mr. Pendlestone, for anyone. I might play the harmonica, but that's none of your business. If you want the widget, bub, you better clue me into what's in it. Because I'm nobody's patsy, see? I don't care if you buy the Taj Mahal and the Mets in one afternoon. $3,000 a day plus expenses doesn't buy Philippa Chavelle.
I'd prefer not to say.
Well, okay. Have it your way. He'd paid me with a check that Jeeves had in his pocket all along. It reeked of gardenias and sex. I was escorted to the hall, but not before I'd finished the scotch and sampled some of that oxygen. It was pure 100% Rocky Mountain gold. As the fossil was brushing my coat, I nipped into the bathroom, pulled two magazines out of the rack, and there, behind this month's copy of In the Butler's Waistcoat, was the letter. Pendlestone's lost letter. I gave it to Jeevesy. He looked up at me, guiltily as a 4-year-old who'd just had an hour alone with crayons on a white wall. He emitted a low, funereal moan and left me holding my own coat in the foyer as he went in to face the music. I never knew what was in it, nor did I care. Pendlestone could already be a winner, it seemed. But who cares?
Hey, Red!
Hey there, Al. Frank, give me the usual. Except I don't need no ice this time.
No ice, Red?
Nah, waters it down.
Where you been, Red?
Oh, I just came up from the old quarry. We've been doing a little exercise. Hooking up some of those 40,000-pound boulders to the hitch and making quick half-mile runs back and forth along the riverbank.
How'd she do?
Well, we broke the old record, but not by much. I think she's a little thirsty. I'm gonna have to get a bottle of whiskey to go. Hey, Frank, give me a brown bag of whiskey for the truck.
She like whiskey, Red?
Now what kind of a question is that? Who doesn't like whiskey? Those dogs that pull the racing sleds down there in Alaska? You know them? They feed them whiskey so that they can pull faster. I want my truck to give that little extra bit. I gotta treat them right. Everyone likes whiskey.
Now, I couldn't help overhearing you talking about your truck. Now, unless you got a system worked out that I ain't heard about, you're talking about feeding her alcohol. Now, that might sound good, but let me tell you, that ain't gonna do nothing but damage. That's gonna dry her out.
You talking to me?
Now, easy now. I'm just saying...
You telling me how to take care of my truck?
Just some friendly neighborly advice. You don't have to follow it.
Would you like to step outside and... take a look at the truck you're talking about?
Easy, Red. Easy, Traveler. I think it's time for you to leave. Now don't you worry none about the drink. It's on the house.
Well, I guess.
Red, let him go. Let him go, Red.
Now, just who in the planet Jupitron does he think he is?
My truck!
I once ran over a 3-story building.
My truck.
My truck will eat your semi for breakfast.
My truck.
Talk to him. Talk to him.
My truck.
Iowa Art Company, how can I help you?
Iowa Fart Company? Who did I call?
Iowa Art Company. We're a nonprofit organization promoting working artists in Greater Des Moines. What can I do for you?
Yes, I was wondering if you could help me. A friend of mine used to work there, and I wonder if she still works there.
What's her name?
Sharon McMillan.
I'm sorry, she doesn't work here. That name doesn't sound familiar. I've been here for about 2 years. Well, I don't know. As I said, I don't know that person. Even if I did, we can't really give out personal information about ex-employees' whereabouts.
She was my best friend! We grew up together in Terre Haute. We went to the same preschool and everything, right on up until we were seniors in high school. In college, we lived in the same dorm, but she moved off campus when she was a junior to live with her boyfriend. It wasn't until after graduation that we lost touch.
Oh, that's too bad. Can I put you...
It was probably because she was an art major and I was a philosophy major. Worlds apart, so we started living our lives. Then I got...
Hate to interrupt, but I've got 8 lines here. May I put you on hold?
Put me on hold? How rude.
Iowa Art Company.
I was just reading the flyer I got in the mail today and wanted to know more about that event.
Which event? Was this from the Iowa Art Company?
Of course! How much are the tickets to the ball going to be?
Okay, you received something from Iowa Art Company and I'm sorry, it's about a ball we're having?
Yes? Haven't you seen this?
Unfortunately not. Let me put you on hold and see if I can get anyone who can answer your question for you. Hi, bud. I have this person on the phone who's asking about some ball we're having. She received something in the mail.
Oh, yes. A ball for Bev Doolittle. How great we're getting calls already.
She was wondering how much tickets for the ball were going to be. Does anyone have a copy of what was sent out so I can answer any other questions people may have, or...
Don't be silly. You're not authorized to have that information. Put her through to me.
Ma'am, are you still there? Let me put you through to Bud Jones. He's our Executive Director of Development and Functions. One moment. Hi, can I help you?
Is Pam Miller here today?
Did you have an appointment with her?
No.
Well, she's not in right now.
When will she be in?
You know, unfortunately, she never really tells me her hours. Did you want to leave a note for her?
No. When is a good time to catch her?
Well, she's usually around more later in the day. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Nella, I was just approving the office supply order and noticed your pen justification form falls short on a few details, and it's written in pencil. Now, you know we can't order pens for you until the board approves this form, and they will never approve this.
Sure. Well, I just need a few pens to take messages. People keep stealing mine.
Here is a new pen justification form. Please fill it out correctly this time. When you revise your request, keep in mind also the aesthetic principles I have for the building. You can only purchase pens that are of black ink, and only the basic pens that are 2 cents each in the supplier's catalog. Anything more high quality or long-lasting will, of course, be rejected on a financial basis.
Couldn't we just order a whole bunch of pens and have them for everyone?
No.
Would you mind if I use your pen there, since I don't have one and that's why I'm filling this out?
And don't be silly. If I let you borrow my pen, I would never see it again. This is exactly why you're always filling out so many of these pen justification forms. The board, you know, will hear more about this.
Was that Rudolf A. Meyer?
Yes. He's our artistic director. Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with something?
Do you know who I am?
No, I don't. Are you here to meet with someone? They prefer that I call back to them for their visitors.
Nonsense. Bud is expecting me.
Hello, Bud. This is Nellie. Just to let you know, someone just whizzed past me going back to you. She's wearing a banana yellow pantsuit and has an auburn bouffant.
Oh, why didn't you... Oh, it's Violet. Well, hello, dear. Kiss, kiss.
Do you know yet when Pam will be here?
Why is that man here?
Well, I don't really know. He came in asking for Pam, and I told him she wasn't here.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Fine. I was just leaving.
Yes, please do, before I need to call the police. Nelly, never let that man inside here. That is Pam's stalker. His name is John DeCamp. Very creepy fellow.
I'm sorry, I didn't know. He just came in.
Don't let it happen again. Having a stalker in the corner like a potted plant is not one of my aesthetic principles for the building. Now, having every single person who calls or comes into the Iowa Art Company be attended to by a friendly, intelligent, alive receptionist is perhaps the most important of my aesthetic principles. So get to it.
If you want a friendly, intelligent receptionist, then maybe you should pay them a decent wage, decent hours, and treat them like a human being.
Nelly, I'm leaving for the day.
Well, it was good working with you. I'll definitely see the exhibits in the future.
Oh, today your last day? Oh, that's right. You're going to work at the, what was it, the Art Association of Des Moines, weren't you?
Yes, I am. They're giving me a fantastic opportunity. I'll be director of their summer camp program for children.
Children. Well, Nelly, I hope you enjoy yourself. It's really too bad you couldn't work with adults. You know, the Art Association of Des Moines is a lot smaller than our organization, and certainly not as prestigious or high quality. They're really less professional. But if you really want to throw away being a receptionist for the Iowa Art Company to be their school director.
Well, yeah, I certainly will miss it here, but I'm excited to use my MAT in arts education, and they have a great adult education program set up with my alma mater, Brown.
Oh, Brown Community College? Oh, that's my alma mater as
no,
well.
No. Brown University in Rhode Island?
Yeah, never heard of it. Must be a girls' school.
It's near RISD.
Okay.
Well, perhaps I'll see you at the exhibitions in the future.
Perhaps. If you do see me, though, please, don't talk to me.
Oh, that's me. About goddamn time and waiting all day for this.
Hi there, sir. What can I do for you today?
Cop told me I need to register my truck as oversized.
Did you fill out the oversized vehicle form?
Yeah. Here you go.
Okay, let's take a look. Four wheels, open cab. Wow, that's one heavy payload you got there.
Well, that's just the official manufacturer stats. There aren't enough boxes on the forms to show what she can do if I ask her nicely.
Oh, all right. Oh, you forgot to fill out this box here. Do you have the vehicle identification number?
Now, don't get personal with me. You government people are always trying to keep information of people's statistics. It's for spying. That's what it is. I know all about it.
Sir, we simply need to make sure the vehicle hasn't been stolen.
Do I look like a thief to you? My truck is paid for, 100%.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to calm down. I'm not implying that you stole the truck. It's just something we need to have on the form.
You'll die trying to get that number from me. You can't keep me in this place. I'll drive where I want. You communists are going to be dead in the road if you try and pull me over again for being oversized. You'll never hold us down. My truck. Kneel your head down when we ride by. My truck. River? What river? All I see is a puddle. My truck. Don't make me use my horn.
Are you a war buff? A connoisseur of combat? A devotee of destruction? Then there's a brand new television network you won't be able to live without. It's the War Channel, the only TV outlet broadcasting direct from the battlefield 24 hours a day. You'll see live action from conflicts raging all over the world, including Iraq, Israel, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, Colombia, the Ivory Coast, Nepal, Sudan, Somalia, Liberia, Chechnya, and North Korea. The War Channel also features classic footage from the best in 20th century warfare, from the trenches of the Somme to the Siege of Sarajevo, as well as realistic recreations of great conflicts throughout the ages. And every night at midnight, don't miss the Splatter Hour, a full 60 minutes of nothing but the bloodiest, goriest, and most nauseating acts of wartime violence ever captured on film. The War Channel is available in most areas, so call your local cable operator now to bring all the great wars, past and present, into your home. The War Channel. All war, all the time.
Katrine, I'm surprised to find you down here. I thought you were on a roll. Are you having problems or taking a rest?
No, the painting's fine. I'm content with the colors I've mixed. Composition is good, better than ever. The painting progress is fine.
What's wrong then?
Painting this bucolic, harmonious beach scene in the middle of all that's going on in the world, with the war and blood harm in the blood, the military/government pressure we're living under, loss of liberty. I tell you, Harmon, I feel like shit. They've sprayed a prep mixture of pain and violence on the canvas that bleeds through with the strength of cat urine. Whatever I'm painting over it doesn't matter. When I look at the work, at the colors, they've smeared everything with a tint of the world that dominates the other colors and motifs. I can't seem to get my beaches bright enough.
You love irony, Katrine. And if I know you at all, I'll bet that there is a shadow of war or oppression hidden in the frame.
There's a little boy playing on the beach with a toy rifle, shooting at his dog.
There. I know underlying violence is a dominant motif in your work. If you feel that what we're living through only adds to your irony, all the better. Just make sure it is subtle enough not to be caught by the Republican censors, or it'll never get shown. You are certainly not naive, Katrine. I'm not sure what...
I think I'm overwhelmed, hon. I'm afraid I've crossed that line where I can't show the pain anymore. It feels escapist. I'm gonna lose my edge, for want of a better word. I'm afraid not to see.
You're numb? You aren't telling me that you want to stick your head in the sand, are you, Katrine? I don't see that happening. I accept the state of conditions more than you ever will. I live my life adapting, knowing that I will survive no matter what. It doesn't throw me the way it throws you. If you told me a year ago that my ubiquitous computer system would prompt me for voice ID every hour, I'd have told you that I wouldn't have been able to live with that. But we adapt because we have to, and if you don't adapt, you're in danger of being left behind. I adapt that way, knowing that it's the best way to survive without going bonkers. I know you see the world clearly, more than me, possibly, but on this point we differ. Frankly, I think your depression might not be so severe if you came around to my way of thinking.
Do you remember, though, years ago when driver's license photos first came into existence and you foamed at the mouth, angry and writing letters complaining to the governor?
Oh, well, sure. I was young and it seemed like the beginning of the great fascism.
What I remember clearly is that 25 years later, when face recognition technology software usage became an everyday occurrence, you didn't even blink an eye. In fact, you thought the technology was cool.
It is cool. Just imagine being able to capture a moving image and feeding that into a nationwide...
Don't you see, Harmon? You're doing what they want you to do. You're making the oppression part of the wallpaper of your life. You see it so often, you don't see it.
I'm a little hurt, hon, that you're calling me naive and collaborative. That is what you're saying, isn't it?
I'm not really chastising you, Harmon. I have to keep the same distance from what's happening that I've always had in order to see clearly the contrasts that have informed my work until now. If I start, even for one philosophical instant, to tread...
Katrine, you are probably overreacting anyway. Maybe you just need a fresh pair of eyes. Let's go see this painting.
Well, I'm not really ready to...
Come on.
It's not finished, remember.
Shit, it's gorgeous. I love the blues you've chosen. They're deep and liquid. Even the sky looks a little like water. The porch is downright inviting with all that island-looking rattan furniture and the tall glass of something we hope is alcohol. That guy on the beach looks like he wants company to, what's he doing? Scavenging shells?
Yeah.
I love the sand. I feel I can see each grain and the warm tan of it juxtaposed against those cliffs in the far-off background. It's beautiful. I'll bet it would feel good between your toes.
Well, great. That's what I was hoping for. Maybe someone with blue wallpaper and a tan sofa will buy it to put over the sofa.
No, I see the clouds in the left, and the boy with the gun in the foreground makes your point, especially since it's obvious he's aiming at the dog. People will wonder for a moment if the gun is real. There's a sense of irony here, Katrine, and yeah, it is beautiful at the same time. You are still exploring your current motif.
Yes, but Harmon, don't you see? I don't want the irony anymore. I want it to be tranquil and inviting. The boy bothers me. I'm tempted to make it like paradise and ignore the pallid clouds. That's what makes me afraid I'll fall into the mire of acceptance. I'll be stuck adapting, just like you. I'll forget why I used ironic images. I'll wonder what all the commotion was about. As long as I can stay locked in the townhouse and paint, I won't care about what happens in the world. I'm scared because I'm embracing the escapist part of it, and not the irony, not the meaning.
Maybe escapist is the answer if you're going to drive yourself nuts. I don't know what you want, but the longer you stay with it, you'll know what you want. And no matter how long you look at it, the world you're living in will still be here. I'm going back downstairs.
I'm going to work as long as the light is good.
Okay, see you later. Katrine, don't worry so goddamn much.
Antonio? You here?
Just checking, Mother. I didn't mean to wake you.
I thought you'd gone. I was just in and out, you know? I woke with a start. I thought maybe you were out someplace. I thought you left. You were gone.
No, Mother. I'm here. I was thinking I'd give you a sponge bath now. Are you hungry?
No, maybe later. A sponge bath would be nice, though. I'm a little warm.
Strange. Most of the time you're chilled. I'll get the pan and a washcloth. I've made the water warm. Tell me if it's too hot. How are you feeling? Did you sleep last night?
Honey, I don't know the night from the day. Except when I see the sun outside. I've slept off and on, the way I always do. Is there any mail?
Nothing much. A letter from Aunt Giselle. I'll read it to you later. Perhaps when you eat, okay?
Okay. Are you gonna wash my hair?
I wasn't. Do you want me to? I can.
I guess not, but I would love to have it brushed.
Okay. Let me fix your pillows. How is this thing on your leg?
It's still sore, but I feel better when I move my leg in different positions. But it's so difficult, Antonio. I have no energy. Do I smell roses?
Yes. The roses near the pond are blooming again. I thought they were finished for the summer. I'll cut some for you later. Let me know if I'm hurting you.
Don't worry. I can barely feel your touch, Antonio. I dreamt about your father again. He loved the roses, you know.
I know. I'm going to lift your leg now.
Oh, the water feels good. Warm and cooling at the same time. He used to cut a spring bouquet for me every year to celebrate our anniversary.
Am I hurting you?
No, it's fine. He was young, in his 40s, patching stucco on the side of the house, in the dream, Antonio. I brought him some chilled wine. It was a hot day.
Mother?
He ripped open the buttons on my blouse, buried his head in me. I think he felt safe with my body around him. I so loved feeling his breath on me and his mustaches on my skin. He was shirtless and brown, sweating and full of mortar paste.
No wonder you're so warm.
Imagine a woman my age still dreaming that way. Something's pressing against my left heel.
Just a wrinkle in the sheets. I'll fix it.
I don't mean to whine.
Is that better? Good. One time I came home from school for the weekend, and I discovered that you and Father were making love near the gazebo.
Oh, yes. We loved being under the trees. Near the path to the trees. I loved the thrill of opening my eyes and seeing both your father and the tall trees around us as if we were floating in them. Will you carry me past the trees later, Antonio? I haven't been through our trees.
Of course, Mother. Okay, I'm going to turn you a bit. Let me know if it hurts.
I'm so withered and bony, Antonio, so weak. Why is it I'm allowed to remember running through the mountains with my sisters? Sprinting past the spring flowers and rock patterns as if we had no time. Toward the peak and a bright blue sky. Why is it those memories are so clear?
So, I talked with the publisher today, Mother. They want me to send them my manuscript soon. Derek will come next week to discuss it.
They're all dead. All my sisters are gone, Antonio. I'm all that's left. Who'd have thought I would have outlived them all? They're all gone. My whole family.
I'm your family. I'm here.
Poor Sarah. How she suffered at the end. Like Mother. I wish my mother had met you, honey. She would have loved you dearly. Of course you're my family, of course. You're sweet to take care of me so well.
Nonsense. Who would I be if I couldn't take care of you? Who would I? I'm going to turn you again.
Your father's sister. She's all that's left.
Aunt Giselle?
We were never really close. She lives so far away. I wonder how old she is now. Her husband was a good-for-nothing, shabby man.
I'm almost done. Just here around your neck.
How long your hair has gotten. Your father had the most golden hair when I met him, like yours. It got darker as he got older.
Then gray.
Wasn't he handsome with that gray at the temples? And that picture of him, you know, the one, the banquet?
Uh-huh. You too, with that streak of white just at the center of your forehead, here. You transformed a room when you entered.
We were good together. And we could cut a rug, too, in our day. Bring me the picture, will you?
We're finished now. Mother, here's your picture. When I was a boy, all the kids in the schoolyard would stare when you picked me up from school. The boys were mesmerized. I'll get the brush.
Not now, honey. I'm a little weary. I might just rest a minute. Brush my hair later. Handsome man, your father. Those dimples. Close my eyes and catch my breath. Antonio?
Here, Mother. I'm right here.
Honey, you don't have to watch over me. I'm okay. I'll just rest a little. Maybe eat a little later. You can take me out to the trees later, maybe. That would be nice. Under the trees.
I'd prefer to stay. Let me fix your pillows. I'll take you to see the trees before it gets dark. We'll go to the pond. But for now, sleep. I'll just stay here a minute.
My sisters. Us on the mountain. Beautiful lily of the valley growing out from between the rocks.
Quiet now, Mother, quiet.
simple and delicate.
I'm here, Mother. It's okay, I'm here.
Persistent.
Quiet.
How we used to run those hills, running toward the peak of the mountain. All that blue I'm surrounding here. Us, we I'm ran.
I'm here, Mother. Quiet. Shh. Katrine? Katrine? How can you see here in the dark? I thought you were coming down at dusk. Katrine, where the hell are you? Are you even up here? Guess you went out during my nap. Oh, I see you've changed it. Painted out the gun-toting boy and left the dog, huh? It seems brighter somehow. Oh, I see. The clouds are gone, too. Looks like you've changed your mind. I see you've even painted a second figure on the beach, walking with the guy. They're closer to the ocean, too. Even that seems to be more blue. And... Jesus! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Katrine! Where are you? Katrine! Katrine!
What's that? Do you hear someone calling your name?
My husband, probably.
Will he be able to figure it out?
If he's calling my name, I'd say he's looked closely. I guess he has figured it out.
Are you happy? Is it okay that you've come?
Yes. I love the salt smell from the ocean and the clean, far-off flower smell of something I painted in near the house. I've forgotten. I love you. It's the newest sensation of them all. That was the desire that brought me here. Your skin.
Well, I don't know that our relationship is anything out of the ordinary.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. I mean, sure, we had special times.
We've had some very special times.
Yes, we have.
Special times.
But nothing that, you know, any other kinds of people that loves each other don't have.
Our special times weren't extraordinary special times.
No.
It was just special, that's all.
Right.
Ordinary kind of special.
Just normal-like.
Like everyone has.
Special, though.
Mm-hmm. Special.
Like how we met.
Like how we met.
Ordinary kind of morning.
Cloudy.
Occasional showers.
Humid.
Humid.
Walking down to school.
High school.
First day.
Long walk.
Back then.
Yeah, back then.
Odd time of year for a tornado.
Yes.
Unusual.
But not that much.
No, not so much.
Still summer.
September.
Summer.
Warm.
Still warm. Uh-huh.
Small tornado.
Not big.
No, not big.
No.
Just ordinary.
Average.
Run of the mill.
Been worse.
A whole lot worse.
Picked me right up, though.
Right off the ground.
Clean off the ground.
Sucked him right in.
Sucked in, yep.
Happens sometimes.
Happened to anybody.
At any time.
Yep.
Any tornado could do it.
Pick you right up off the ground.
Pick anyone up off the ground.
Sure would.
Picked me up.
Yep, got her too.
About 10 miles away.
Other side of town.
Walking down to school.
Long dirt road.
Dirt road.
Sure enough.
Was paved, though.
Paved, uh-huh.
At that time.
Yeah, paved dirt road.
Asphalt.
Makes sense.
Whisked away in a cloud of dust on dirt road.
Clean off the asphalt.
Off the dirt, actually.
Dirt?
No sidewalk.
No sidewalk on dirt road?
Just dirt.
No asphalt?
Dirt sidewalk.
Paved road?
Asphalt.
Dirt sidewalk.
Dirt road.
I see.
Picked me right up.
Off the dirt road sidewalk.
cloud of dust.
Clean off the ground.
We collided in the funnel.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Not hard, though.
Oh, yeah. Gentle.
More of a bump.
A nudge, almost.
I said, excuse me.
He did.
Wasn't that great? That was a bunch of highlights from an old Sun Radio project from 2003, I think. They were really some fun things. And, well, stay tuned for the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.
Reasonable.
Anybody else would have done it.
Just manners is all.
Thought I'd startled you.
No, not really.
No?
I was glad for the company.
Nice to have company in there.
Natural reaction.
Perfectly.
Spit us out right in front of the church.
Against the church.
Above the door.
Backs against the wall.
Facing out.
Legs down. Arms out.
Side by side.
Like a cross.
Like our Lord.
Kind of like, yeah.
Above the church door.
Happened before, I'm sure.
Lots of times, I suppose.
Slid right down.
Down to the ground.
Slow, though.
Slow slid.
Friction.
Introduced himself to me.
I sure did.
Hit the ground. Settle low.
Like